Bragg overruled them. This was going to cause tension that lingered long after the battle. There were going to be recriminations after the battle directed toward Bragg by his lieutenants, who said that this attack should not have been launched. But the attack was launched, and it was an abysmal failure. The Southern brigades attacked into a strong Union position. 58 Union cannons raked the attackers at one time or another, and the assaults produced nothing but piles of Confederate casualties. This is another instance of Bragg's being aggressive, and we'll see others. He could be aggressive, but he seemed not to be able to be aggressive in a way that yielded results on a battlefield, results beyond significant casualties. Bragg drew back after this second day of hard fighting on January the 2nd and decided that his position near Murfreesboro was no longer tenable. He worried about his supplies, he worried about the level of casualties, and he also, I think, must have known that he didn't really have the confidence either of his principal subordinates or of the men in the ranks. It was an army, officers and men, without much faith in its commander, and Bragg decided to retreat. The Army of Tennessee fell back about 35 miles to the south on January 3rd and 4th. So another instance of Bragg having announced success and then having to retreat. This is something that people remembered as well. We've won, and then we're going to retreat on Bragg's part. He left behind incredible carnage. In terms of percentages of the armies lost as casualties, this is the bloodiest battle of the Civil War, the Battle of Stones River. The combined casualty rate was simply staggering. 12,000 Confederate casualties, a third of Braxton Bragg's army. 13,000 Federal casualties, more than 30% of Rosecrans's army. And it didn't yield a decisive result. Bragg was still in Middle Tennessee. Rosecrans didn't pursue him. Bragg simply fell back to a position a bit closer to the Georgia border. But still, it was much better than a defeat. It was much better than what might have happened in this instance, and Lincoln was actually pleased, or at least cautiously pleased, with what had happened. He sent a message to Rosecrans saying that if this had been a real defeat, and I'll quote him here, the nation could scarcely have lived through it. You can almost see Lincoln breathing a sigh of relief. Here is a battle that resulted in a Confederate retreat. That at least can be construed as a Union victory, even if it isn't a clear-cut and decisive Union victory. The strategic situation didn't change at all as a result of the Battle of Murfreesboro or Stones River, but at least it wasn't a Union retreat. It's the last fighting in this theater during that winter. It will be even past the spring before Rosecrans and Bragg will engage one another again in significant fighting. All right, let's shift to the Mississippi River and let's look at the initial phase of Ulysses S. Grant's operations against Vicksburg. Vicksburg was the great remaining Confederate stronghold on the Mississippi River. As you'll remember, the Federals had already taken control of the upper reaches of the Mississippi. They controlled Columbus, Kentucky, all the way down to Memphis, Tennessee. That part of the river was solidly in Union hands, as was the lower stretch of the river from the Gulf up to New Orleans and then on north of New Orleans toward Baton Rouge. The Confederates only controlled this middle piece of the river, really between Vicksburg and Port Hudson, Louisiana. Those are their two remaining strong points, but Vicksburg is the more important of the two. It is the key to Union control of the entire sweep of the Mississippi River. Until Vicksburg fell, Union plans to control the river could not be completed. And so that is Grant's charge in this campaign. How is he going to get at Vicksburg? How is he going to complete this part of old Winfield Scott's Anaconda campaign, take control of the Mississippi? He hoped to threaten the stronghold primarily from two directions. He would come out of Tennessee overland with an army, marching southward into Mississippi, and try to put himself in a position to come against Vicksburg from the east. A second force, under his friend William Tecumseh Sherman, would try to put itself in a position to threaten the city from the north.